The Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, as you know, I don't have an official countdown going. Of course, when I get back from Walt Disney World, I'll reset and we'll get ready for Epic October. But right now, I'm out on the Disney Dream and getting ready to, get back on land tomorrow over there on Thursday to explore Port Orleans Riverside Resort and head around the parks of Walt Disney World. Every time over the last few months we've looked down at my iOS device, my phone, and my iPad, I have gotten excited for this trip that we are now on. And you can do the same thing. You know, you want to extend out that excitement during your planning stages. This is the best way to do it. Grab Days to Go WDW over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 719 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and you know that I'm having a happy Wednesday because who knows where I am? I'm all around Walt Disney World. I am just having a great time with friends and family running around Walt Disney World. And if you happen to be down there, hey, find me. You know, I check in all over the place on Foursquare and Swarm, I think it's called now, and Twitter and Instagram. It's like where's Waldo? Where's Mike? Find me. So if you're at the resort, look for me this week. And if you're not, give me a follow on Twitter and Instagram, both at Be Our Guest Mike. And maybe we'll make this Wednesday a little bit better for you, or maybe you'll just be jealous like I always am when I'm back home and everybody else is having fun at Walt Disney World. Either way, lots of pictures coming your way, and I'm having a blast out of my favorite place. But we recorded this one a little bit early so we can answer your listener questions. So joining me today again in studio, over the shoulder, like the parrot in Pirates of the Caribbean, we have Ricky from a Disney World AfterAll.com. Put the phone away, Ricky, and let's answer some questions. What's up?
Dang it, he can actually see what I'm doing now. This makes life a little hard. I was just checking in on Foursquare.
Okay, that's pretty cool there.
All right. So now we're good. See, I mean, the phone was nice. In the hand for a reason.
I'll check in too. We'll have a swarm or whatever it's called, the super swarm.
I was going to try and sneak a picture of you, but my phone is full, so.
No sneak out of the pictures.
No, apparently not.
At least I took a shower today.
Thank God.
I know.
I don't have to smell you, which is nice.
I know. I'm telling you, man, the humidity, you walk outside 5 minutes, you stink.
Pretty much.
TMI.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Also joining us from MakingMagicAndMemories.com, the home of humidity, not your website, but where you live, we have Debbie. What's up, Debbie?
Thank you for clarifying. And no, I smell pretty. So just to clarify. Hey, everybody. Hope you're all having a very good week.
We are. You know, when we do the podcast, man, there's always a smile on my face. I love doing this.
Yes.
Fun. I love it. I love it when folks send us questions because they ask some really good questions too.
That's right. And we're going to answer some of those here in just a second after we introduce the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel up in perfect Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh. I'm sure that it's low humidity in the low to mid 70s and always gorgeous as it is at PNC Park. We have Pam. What's up, Pam?
Yes, that's exactly what it's always like here. It's great. A great day. The more we do the question shows, the more I like it because, first of all, we don't have to think of a topic for the show.
And that's true. Yeah. That's the biggest reason.
Yeah, nice. In our book, I think everyone will agree with that. And then, secondly, I like it because sometimes they're challenging and they, like, make me think in a way that, like, planning for my own vacation doesn't because I just show up and then we go and do stuff. So I like this. I think it's very cool.
When I especially like our first question because it's not a question, it's an answer to a previous question. I mean,
yes.
not only do our listeners take care of us by asking questions and making it easy on us, but when you caught right in and answer those questions, I mean, shoot, we're just like, all we have to do basically is read. You know,
that's
sometimes
right,
I have trouble with that.
But yes.
That's awesome.
We'll do the best we can. All right, first question today or answer comes from Jamie Lee Pinnell, and she says, "Hi, Mike and BOGP gang. Your show is the bomb." That's a great way to open an email.
That right is.
Yeah. It goes right to the top of the list. I am from Victoria, British Columbia, Canada, and I came up with a few places in the Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom to have a short nap or rest. All right, because I'll probably be using these
Mike
today.
Yeah, you might need them.
I'm crazy enough to be down there late June, early July. It's hot.
It is.
So here you go. Magic Kingdom. Walt Disney World railway train. I think of you around, I think to go around the whole track, it's about 30 minutes. Well, doesn't matter. If you're asleep, it doesn't matter.
That's true. That's true.
Also, Magic Kingdom, when walking into Liberty Square from the hub, there is a stand of flags on the left and a small alcove on the right with two big rocking chairs. It's a little quieter here because it's out of the way and is set up like a porch, so it has a roof. Nice. I have rested there.
Yes.
Anybody else? Has anybody rested in the white chairs over to the, kind of by Hall of Presidents?
No.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds lovely.
We certainly have. There's only two.
Yes.
So we make Hannah sit on the steps.
Nice. There you go. She doesn't sit there.
Two's plenty. She's young. I only need one. So, you know, everybody else, you're on your own. All right. So she also says Mickey's PhilharMagic is nice and cool on hot days, too, if your kid is a heavy sleeper.
Oh.
Or if you're a heavy sleeper, I guess. Right. Yeah. That's not bad. And it smells good. Well, I mean, certain times it
smells better
good.
Than Stitcher's Great Escape. That's for sure.
That's true. Just, but in the summer, it depends who you're sitting
next
to.
Well, that's definitely true. Yeah.
All right. Animal Kingdom. If your child is really young, the safari ride is potentially long enough to rock your little one to sleep. It's shaded and fairly quiet, especially if they are heavy sleepers. I guess the rocking motion of the Jeep. I mean,
well, a lot of kids fall asleep in cars. I don't know. Yeah, it's a little more of a rocky car, though. I don't know.
It's a bumpy little ride. This kid must sleep like a rock.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it'll be a heavy sleeper. And, I mean, you wake up and you're looking at a rhinoceros right in the snout.
I think Brian actually did fall asleep for a second while we were on it the last time, maybe.
We don't want to turn the show into where you could fall asleep. No. I've been so tired down there, I could fall asleep like in Tower of Terror.
I think that I remember looking over and him like... I was like, oh, really? Seriously?
And Lights, Motors, Action?
Yes, exactly. Lights, Motors, Action. Oh, he can fall asleep anywhere. He's like Steve. You know, he'll just, as soon as the show comes on, terrible. Yeah, he's
awful. America? Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's another one for Epcot.
Yes.
Let's see. She also says about Animal Kingdom, there's an area by Dinosaur that is super quiet, that is a super quiet area that is shaded and has some benches that is often overlooked. It is, I think it is called the Triassic Walk, and it has little notes about all the plants the older kids can learn to. I believe, actually, that's off kind of off to the right of Dinosaur, kind of like a queue area toward that way. But I know what she's talking about, though. It might even be, there's a lot of those, like, fern-type plants over there. Good place. That is out of the way. Also, the Friendships are a great way to relax anytime you are around Epcot and Hollywood Studios. Now, the Friendship boats do knock me out. If I'm tired, poof. I mean, if you, Pam, I'm sure you've napped on a Friendship boat, even unintentionally.
Are you kidding me?
How did I get to the Swan?
Whoa! I went too far.
My family could have left me. I just would have rode around for the next hour.
Oh, man. Yeah, those things. I mean, you see these kids dropping like flies 10 minutes into those Friendship boats between Epcot and the studios. I'm the same way. So, and she says, thanks for being awesome, Jamie Lee Frazier. Jamie Lee, we think you are awesome as well. Thank you for writing. And also, you know, sending your follow-ups to that. Where's a great place to nap?
Yeah, absolutely.
Where have you fallen asleep? Where are your kids? Because I know a lot of us have fallen asleep a lot of places. All right, next question comes from Teresa Humphrey. She says, hi, Be Our Guest crew. Have a couple of questions for you experts. I'm looking around.
I don't know.
I don't know where they are, but we'll do what we can. I always go to Disney World the week after Thanksgiving. My husband doesn't go because he doesn't like it. Terrible, I know. Anyway, for years I've tried to talk my son and his wife into going with us. They have never been to Disney World. Well, my son told me a few weeks back when I was at his house, hey, Mom, next time you go to Disney World, we want to go with you. Aww. Made my day. So I'm planning a trip for us in 2015. Here's the thing. I've noticed the last 2 years when free dining came out, they blacked out weeks the week after Thanksgiving. So if I come that time, I would lose a good bit of money for having dining for four people. And I know there's a chance there will not be free dining for 2015, but I'm thinking of booking a different week just in case. Don't want to book week of Thanksgiving since my husband will be home. So looking at the week before Thanksgiving, I know I won't get to see the Christmas, but that would be a lot of money if free dining comes out. What do you all think of that week? Also, another question, if I booked two rooms with two people in each room and I get a pin for free dining, happened last year, will it apply to both rooms? Sorry for the long email. Enjoy you guys. And Mike, I enjoyed you just fine Friday. You did a good job. Have a great week. Teresa, she's Mickey for life on the boards. I believe she's talking about that show I did all by myself when nobody else could make it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
I went solo there, so I appreciate that, Teresa. So, okay, so, yeah, you're right. I mean, the more busy times are going to cause, you know, it's going to be a blackout because they can sell those rooms at Rack and they don't need to offer a discount for that. So the week before Thanksgiving, typically one of the lowest crowds of the year, right, Ricky? I mean, that's a good, if you're just looking at crowds, because discounts are kind of hard to see for 2015, yeah. But crowd-wise, you lose the Christmas decorations, but you also get very minimal waits.
Well, the week before Thanksgiving, there are some Christmas decorations up. So keep that in mind. They do usually start, like, Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party around that time. I don't know when they start the Osborne lights, but that's early, too, usually, I think. So you may still get to see some Christmas stuff taking place. I think the only thing that doesn't really occur, you know, until after Thanksgiving is Candlelight Processional. So I think you're okay there. As far as crowds, I think that the week before Thanksgiving is fine. You know, you should see relatively easy crowds, not too many big problems. So,
Pam, have you traveled then that week before Thanksgiving?
Yeah, the crowds are really not too bad. The closer you get to Thanksgiving, the heavier they get, of course. You know, it's a nice time to travel. Some of the decorations are up, some of them aren't. You aren't going to be able to see everything. But, you know, it's a great way to kind of ease into the holiday season, right? I mean, you let Disney do the decorating for you and that, you know, that early and just enjoy what you do get to see.
Okay, so let's talk about a question about the PIN code because, you know, those are those mysterious 15-digit numbers, hopefully you get an email or, you know, back in the old days. And they still do it in postcards and, you know, communications from Disney. And nobody really knows who's selected for them. They're very specific marketing tools for Disney. What they do is, you know, if Disney has some rooms they need to fill up and they don't want to put out something to the general public out there that's a, you know, a big offer that's going to be huge, they'll market things specifically for certain resorts, even certain rooms, you know, certain different discounts to fill those rooms. And that's usually what the PIN offers are for. So, Pam, if she has two rooms booked and she hits with a PIN offer, how does that work? Can you apply that to two different rooms?
Yes, you absolutely can. As long as, you know, you're the lead guest and you receive the PIN, you will be able to apply it to up to three rooms, typically. There could be a little quirk on the PIN that would restrict that, but as long as you have that, you certainly can do it. So that's a great way to save. Remember that. Talk to your friends and family if you get a PIN code and say, hey, guess what? I got a fantastic deal that you're not going to get yourself. Do you want to come with me?
Come with me. I'll take care of it. Yeah.
That is fun. Yeah. And one of those things, you know, they do, just so you know, if you're booking it on your own or booking it through a travel agent, Disney is very picky about verifying that PIN code that it is associated with the person who got it. So you will have to have like a mailing address that's correct and all that stuff. But once you have that, you're golden. I mean, I'm just saying, because you can't just like go searching like on Google for like a 15-digit PIN number, because it's got to be something that was directly sent to you.
Right.
Yes.
But they're golden when you get them, let me tell you. All right. Next question comes from Jed Penna. And he says, hey, Mike, love the podcast. Looked like you had a great time or had fun on the Mine Train. And I did. Here's his listener question. We were looking to move to Florida in the next couple of years, and one of the reasons would be to be closer to Walt Disney World. I was curious what cities anyone would suggest that meet these requirements. So, Debbie, this one might be for you since you're a local. So
sure.
Here's what he's thinking. He wants to be under an hour from Walt Disney World. He's looking for approximately 5 acres so we don't have to plan to be in the city, but nearby one. Has software engineering jobs close enough, safe from hurricanes or safe as you can be in Florida, in nice town or atmosphere, safe and friendly. Any suggestions would be awesome. So he's looking to be, you know, within an hour of Walt Disney World, somewhere where he, you know, there's going to be some software engineering type jobs. The hurricane thing, I think that's going to pretty much be the same, you know, around Central Florida. I doubt that'll shake anything. But, you know, nice town or atmosphere. Is there any place that you can think of that would fit his criteria that maybe other folks might not know about?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how far Mount Dora is. I think it's around an hour away. I may be wrong. Maybe a little bit longer. But Mount Dora has got lots of property. I've heard a lot of people really, really love that area. It's very country-ish, so that seems like that might fit the bill. There are a lot of other cities around that. But Mount Dora is just like a really nice nestled-in community. As far as an hour away, there are other places. I don't know the exact you know, which cities, because there are, I lovingly was told, try not to live right near Walt Disney World, and I fought and fought and fought. I asked everybody in the world, including people in the supermarket, don't you think I should move next to Disney World?
They're like, she's asking random people in the supermarket. Hey,
well, I won't see them again. But they're like, no, you don't want to live near the parks, because the thing is, you get so close with all that traffic, the congestion, and you get a lot of touristy folks. You get a lot of folks that the transient, when I say transients, I mean that you have people who buy homes so that they can rent them out. So you don't have like real neighbors. If you want that real neighborly feel, move out just a little bit. I mean, St. Cloud's nice. I live in Eastern Orlando. It's fabulous. I'm close enough to the parks, but far enough away. There are a lot of jobs in the Orlando area, so I really do not have a lot of traffic the way I drive to get to work. It's wonderful, but yet, if I needed to go to a tech job or anything of that nature, you know, whatever the industry is, it's not too far away from that as well. And I'm like 35 miles away from Disney World. So I say East Orlando is a really nice area.
All right. That's awesome. That's exactly what we need here. And our listeners too, if you have any suggestions, because we have lots of locals that listen to the show, please do write in. We'll pass those out there for everybody, because you know, Jed's not the only one. I'm sure that's
I want to get down there in the next couple of years. I got to know where to live. So, you know.
Yeah. Claremont's nice and Windermere's nice.
Pam, I know you guys were kind of looking there for a while. Did you find any areas that you thought, hey, this is a pretty nice little area?
We did really like the Claremont area. There's a lot of, you know, right off the main road there, you drive and you're like in farm country. There are some nice developments being built in that area too. So we liked that area, and it was very easy to get on Disney property. You kind of went into that back area by the entrance by Animal Kingdom Lodge. So that was kind of a good area too. You know, it's a challenge because I still really feel like I would love to at least have a house there. I'm just so scared of having a house that we don't stay at very often.
Oh, I can take care of that for you.
With Hannah really getting into teaching, it's likely that she'll be here. So it kind of makes you think of the future. So
she can move to Florida? What are you talking about?
There's kids to teach down
there. There are kids in Florida to teach.
I tell it to my wife all the time. There's kids we can teach down there.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not quite the same as teaching in Pennsylvania for a number of reasons. So, you know, but we still very much kick it around. And, you know, I hope as we have more free time, you know, at some point in our lives, that we will certainly have a house there. So,
all right. Well, good luck with that, Jed. And definitely keep us posted. That sounds like a great adventure. I know we have lots of friends who have made the move, and it's worked out well for most everybody that's gone down. So, very cool. Also, a big shout out. Just a couple weeks ago, we found out our good friend Ken Taylor, who made the move to Florida. And she's now full-time over at the studio. So congratulations.
Yahoo, kitty!
A little bit late on that there, but I wanted to get that out there. We're super proud of her.
That's awesome.
All right, next question is from Mark. And he says, hi, Mike and the BOGP crew. My name is Mark, and I'm from Glasgow, Scotland. Scotland.
No.
Does that sound like it?
No.
Yes. I've ridden the Highland Fling at Six Flags.
Yes, that's not the same.
I've been listening to your show for over a year now. After stumbling across your podcast while looking for My Disney Experience information, it's interesting. Look at that. My Disney, the $2 billion Disney has spent has led one listener to the Be Our Guest podcast. It's a success.
That's right.
Thank you, Disney.
Thank you, Disney. The $2 billion listener is Mark.
That's right.
Anyway, I will be visiting the world on September 17th with my family, staying at the Art of Animation for 12 nights, then heading up to Universal's Royal Pacific for the remaining 11 nights. Let me just say that over the last 2 weeks, our European listeners rock the staying for like forever.
I know, right? No kidding. Wow.
It just shows that flying's scary, and if you got to fly across an ocean, you got to stay
for a
month.
No, it does not show it's scary. I flew here. It's fine.
That's all right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff you do I wouldn't do.
No. Yeah, well, never mind. Let's just continue.
We shouldn't be in the same room.
No, we shouldn't.
This is why we use Skype.
Yes.
I've not been to Walt Disney World in 6 years, so I have no experience on the new Fast Pass or My Disney Experience. Our travel agent is one of the biggest in the UK, but have very little information about the new My Disney Experience. I asked our travel agent about our theme park tickets to link these with our My Disney Experience account and to book Fast Pass Plus and dining. Our agent told us, though, that although we have booked the tickets, the agency do not purchase the tickets or provide us with a reference number until 8 weeks prior to our vacation. Do you guys think that 8 weeks prior to our vacation, we will still be able to get the fast pass to our favorite attractions, example, Space Mountain, Toy Story, Expedition Everest? And also, how easy is it for guests from overseas who may not have access to cell phone coverage to access their My Disney Experience account? Is there Wi-Fi in the parks for guests to use? Thanks for taking the time to answer my questions and keep up the good work. Mike, looks like you may have some Scottish in his blood with his and Mallory's red hair. Enjoy your trip to the world, and I look forward to hearing all about it. All the best. That's Mark. And Mark, my hair is actually pretty gray, so it's not necessarily what's in my blood.
I might take care of that.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I don't like having gray hair, so.
I may be sharing a secret of that, I do know that Mike might take care of
that. About once every 6 weeks, I kind of look like Jack Frost for about 45 minutes. Anyway, back to his question. So, kind of interesting you wouldn't have a reference number to tie to your My Disney Experience. I might push your agent on that, but let's get back to what's at hand. The 8 weeks prior, you're going to be fine getting your FastPass Plus reservations because you can only get them 6 weeks out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's 60 days.
With all these numbers.
I know.
There's a lot of numbers around here. 60 days. So you're going to be fine there. You can do that. And as far as using your My Disney Experience and being from overseas and not having cell phone coverage, the Wi-Fi is getting better and better. So, Ricky, I mean, it sounds like, I know Masayo uses her iPod Touch and usually does pretty well.
Yeah, there are areas that are spotty, not going to lie. It's, there's still some spotty areas. But for the most part, you can usually get to an area where the Wi-Fi is connected and working well very easily. So you don't have to worry about that. And also, if you ever do have any issues with, My Disney Experience or you need to, especially if you need to redo a fast pass or something like that, they do have the kiosks in the park as well. So just go to stop at one of the kiosks, or if you have maybe a harder thing, not necessarily related to Fast Pass Plus, go to any of the guest services areas, and they'll be able to help you as well. So.
That's right. Don't be afraid to ask a cast member; they'll definitely hook you up. But yeah, the Wi-Fi is pretty strong there, and because right now and for the future now, Disney has to give you Wi-Fi because that. Like you say, with all your FastPass Plus, your dining, everything is now in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to have good Wi-Fi. So you'll be fine there, and hope you have a great trip, man. You're gonna love it, boy. 25 days in Central Florida. Have a blast. Let us know how it goes. We can do a podcast. It'll be a month long. But
awesome.
It'll be the longest podcast ever. So what'd you do on day 17?
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you have for breakfast on day 22? Anyway, have a great time. All right, last question of the day comes from Derek Poland. He says, hey, Mike, I've got a DVC question for you, Ricky, and Pam. And Debbie, of course, because Debbie, you're DVC.
Debbie actually is the DVC person.
The irony of this all. I'm sure his fingers just got tired.
Yes.
After recently visiting Walt Disney World and cruising on the Magic, I'm re-exploring DVC on the resale market. But even then, it's hard to justify the ROI when you have to pay the annual maintenance fees. Our family goes 1 to 2 times a year, and we typically like to take advantage of special offers such as resort discount or free dining. I understand DVC resales are no longer eligible for cruises. If you are not a DVC member and knowing you go to Disney often, what would keep you from buying into the resale market?
Oh, this is a question for me.
If you are a DVC member, would you make that investment again now that you've had your experience with DVC? Thanks for all you guys do, and I love the show. Derek's from Mason, Ohio. So I think it's a great question because two of us are DVC, two of us are not, and he asks kind of both ways. So let's start with Debbie. So Debbie, you are DVC. You've bought in. If you had to do it all over again today, would you do it? Because he's worried about the maintenance fees and stuff like that you got to consider that, don't go away.
Right. And they go up every year. Mm-hmm. It's really funny. Half of me says I would, because it is very nice to check into a deluxe resort hotel, especially during the holidays, where you could spend easily $300 to $500-$700 a night normally, where you just walk in, you have this nice room, you check out, and you don't have to write a check to anybody. The curve that I would say no is that it is pricey. The rules do tend to change at times that I found a little bit it gives me heartburn, because it's like me saying, oh, by the way, DVC, I'm only going to pay you half of the dues this year. So DVC could change the rules up, and that's kind of given me some unsettling. And I've also talked to other DVCers who have felt the same way. So, and it doesn't, quite honestly, if I do want to stay off like the Art of Animation or go to Pop Century, that still comes out of my pocket. Mm-hmm. So, and some places like Disneyland in California, a Disneyland hotel in California or Grand California, sometimes those points are higher and for a standard room. So it just really depends on how much you would really go and stay in a deluxe resort hotel. And it might be worth it, but you'd also definitely have to add in the first nut, that big chunk of change that you're putting out there for DVC, and then the annual dues, and divide it out. And it is kind of nice that you could own it. I know when I bought it, it's like 48, 49 years. Mm-hmm. So that's not too bad to spend now, you know, and I'm paying around $800 to $900 a year, but to get, I could easily get like 8 to 10 nights. That's still not bad for a deluxe resort hotel.
No, I mean, it's a great deal when you think about it. But, I've always thought with DVC that when you purchase in, because you mentioned DVC making changes, you know, cutting back on some of the benefits you get, you know, once you're a DVC member, I always thought that they should, you know, grandfather the folks in. Like, when you make your payment and you buy into DVC, kind of it's a two-way contract. Like, you're mm-hmm. entitled to this, and Disney cannot take that away. Now, if they want to change the rules right. for people that are buying future contracts or resale contracts, then they can change the rules all they want because it's going to be stated right there in that contract. But it's almost like the folks who bought in 10 years ago, you should lock into what the benefits were for the extension of that 50-year, whatever, how long your contract is. You know, I just think that would be a fair way to go about it. Now, they're not going to do that, but I just think that's fair when you're investing into the company at that level, mm-hmm. you know, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Mike, because it is very frustrating whenever you feel like that, you know, you've got the rules here that all of a sudden the rules change. And you're still having to pay for this. You're like, wait a minute, this isn't right. And it does kind of frustrate me when, and I'm happy for folks who get the free dining. I'm very happy for them. But it does kind of get annoying when if I were to get the dining, I'd have to pay out of my pocket for the dining versus getting free dining if I were to go the exact same time.
All right, so let's throw this over to Pam. So, Pam, you've heard Debbie, and I think she did a really good job of kind of explaining both the pros and the cons being an owner. So you've also been an owner. You've explored through resale. You've bought through Disney. So what do you think?
So I have very much the same feelings that Debbie does. On one hand, I was happy that we did it, and lately I haven't been as happy, and I have not been really recommending it to other guests. And I will tell you, some of my reasons are the same as Debbie's, that the benefits change. My biggest complaint, I really feel, is the availability. The
yes.
fact that they're selling so many Alani contracts, and those guests can book at Walt Disney World at the same time I can, except for my home resort, where I do have an 11-month window. But for every other resort, I only have a 7-month window. And, you know, if you have any number of points and you want to take a couple of trips, you may want to take a last minute trip. And I will tell you that we very rarely can get those last minute trips at any but one or two resorts. And I've seen enough of those one or two resorts to last my lifetime.
Yeah,
I love them. I love one of them. I don't love the other one. But, you know, I would have liked to have explored maybe staying at the Contemporary or the Grand Floridian Villas, and the Polynesian are just completely out the door. I mean, that's never going to be an option unless I pay cash for them. And the only way that I've seen some of these resorts is because I've made reservations and paid cash. I did not use DVC points. So that's been a source of frustration for me the last few years. And one of the reasons why, you know, I say to people, please make sure that you are, you know, happy with your home resort. You know, I've heard of people buying, you know, at Hilton Head or at Vero and then trying, you know, to get in wherever they can. And I think that can be a challenge sometimes. So be happy with the home resort. Be aware of all the fees up front, all of the monthly fees. You know, we paid off our contract when we bought it, but we still have, you know, $100 in monthly fees just mm-hmm. to be able to go to, in addition to what the buy-in price was. So that's something to consider. And do the math, like really do the math. And think about when Disney's putting out there for you to compare, they're comparing rack rate to what you're doing. If you usually go during a time when you can get a discount, that's something for you to consider. That's something that's going to factor into your math that, of course, Disney's not going to tell you. You know, like at this time of the year, you can get the resorts at 40% off, and you know what the typical discounts are, so consider that. I'm not saying it's a bad purchase. I'm not saying I'm regretting it. I'm just saying at this point, it may not fit my needs like it once did. for the reasons that I mentioned, and then just the frustration that at times I feel like the benefits do change, and that's something in the contract that can change. But it doesn't make it feel any better when it happens, let's just say. It causes a little heartburn, as Debbie says. Yes.
And doesn't it annoy you, Pam, whenever you want to go to a particular hotel, they'll say, oh, I'm sorry, there's no availability. However, you can always purchase it. Yes. Doesn't that just annoy you? You're like, excuse me, I did purchase it every year.
Yes, to no end. And that is something that you have to be prepared to deal with. And I've talked to many DVC members about this, that they're like, I want to use my points to stay at this resort. And they're telling me I can't, but it's if I go, you know, and ask my travel agent, I can book it through them, no problem. And again, another challenge, there's different availability. So, I mean, we're sounding negative because that's where we are, I think, in our purchase. You know, that's how it has evolved. So I don't, and you know, and other people have a different experience. So be sure to talk to some of them too.
Well, of course, too, you know, if you look at it historically, like I've heard from folks that bought in, you know, say the early 90s or, you know, when it was new, and, you know, it was such a sweet deal back then. I mean, like, you had an annual pass included, you know, just things like that. And of course, like you say, they're reining in the benefits every year, you know, every so often. But I think it's one of those things, like with anything else, the more information you know, or the longer term you have with it, you could get a little bit more cynical with it. Like if you're somebody coming in that has no idea, you know, this could be something like, you know, hey, I just found out about DVC today. I know nothing about free dining. I know nothing about historical discounts. You know, probably they're going to have a different perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's true. And you really do need to go into it with your eyes wide open. That's just something to be, you know, to be sure of. So.
All right, Ricky, so we're the two that do not have DVC, and I know that, you know, Brian works in the hotel industry, so your accommodations are pretty much taken care of, you know, not on site, but, you know, you supplement things with buying rooms at cash, so is that your biggest reason you haven't pulled the trigger on DVC? That and the cost?
Yeah, it was more the cost, honestly, because, you know, just because I have the access to free hotel stays doesn't necessarily mean that I need to... Well, of course, I like taking them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, I wouldn't want to stay on Disney property. I mean, there is something special about staying on Disney property, I won't lie. However, the cost factor has been the major reason why I haven't done it. Really, it just doesn't make sense for us. You know, I can't... It's the dues. Really, honestly, it's the dues that get me. I can't see spending, you know, Pam said she does $100 a month. So that's $1,200 that she's spending on a hotel room. And I could take that same $1,200 and put it towards a hotel room. And we don't have a problem staying at Pop or staying at Port Orleans or, you know, staying at a moderate resort. You know, we don't have a problem with those. So, you know, I think that's really the reason why we haven't done it, is just because, you know, $100 a month in dues is a lot of money that I still have to pay. It's basically like I'm still paying for my hotel room.
And you got to pay off you got to pay off the DVC contract at the same time.
Exactly. So, you know, I'd rather just give them the money. It sounds bad, but I'd rather just give them the money and keep my, you know, $15,000, $16,000, $17,000, however much the, you know, the DVC is, I'd rather just give them the $1,200 and do it that way. If they're going to
get free dining.
Right, exactly. If they're going to get it, I would rather do it that way. And so that's part of it. And then, of course, the other part is we are still considering moving down there. So, you know, to have DVC, it would be really stupid for us if we're going to live. I mean, I know Debbie does it, and I know that there are people who do it. But, you know, I just can't see it working for us personally, so.
It's one of those things, too, like, I went through, like, a year, probably about 2 or 3 years into the podcast, because we talked about it quite often on here, and, you know, Debbie was talking about DVC, and I knew Pam was DVC, and, like, you know, I really wanted to buy into DVC, and, of course, if you ever go on a cruise, and you go, because you got a great chance to win a big onboard credit, like, $200 or $300, and, I mean, you got, like, a 1 in maybe 50 shot at the that's your worst odds. Sometimes only, like, 10 people show up.
I need to go to this more.
I mean, I go to those every time, because, I mean, sometimes there's, like, only, you know, 8 to 10 people
and
in there.
And yet you still never won, right?
No, I've never won, but, exactly. I mean, it's, like, I go to those things, and, I mean, those people are so good at what they do. It's not high pressure, but it's, like, they give you the calculator, like, figure it out, but you're right, like Pam says. You mean, you're comparing against rack rates and stuff like that, but... You know, I thought about it, like, it makes sense. We're going to go. But, you know, like Ricky said, I don't mind staying at Pop Century. I don't mind staying at Art of Animation. You know, when we splurge, we go to Riverside or, you know, Coronado or something. And I'm fine with that. I had to let it, just not let it bother me and just say, we're going to go down when we do. I always get a discount. There's always something out there, annual pass or, some seasonal discount or something's out there that you can grab the times that we travel. So, you can't have any regrets. And we didn't buy DVC. We probably won't. And I just can't regret it. I can't say, oh, I wish, because it's one of those things. If you go either way,
right,
with DVC or without, you can't say, I wish I had the other. You just got to be happy with the decision you made and go from there, I think.
Absolutely. You're right.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. All right. Well, this has been a great question. Boy, we could have done a whole show on
that one. No
kidding. Maybe we'll rediscuss this here in the future. But that does it for today's episode. Don't forget, we're sponsored today by VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And also, speaking of DVC, don't forget about D-Point. If you're a DVC member, this is the app that you need to have. You can calculate the points needed for a Disney Vacation Club stay in seconds. So if you are DVC and you are one of the lucky ones that own into the company there for about the next 50 years and you're enjoying those great vacations, hey, that's great, man, because I'm sure we have lots of friends that are DVC and they are using it to their advantage and having awesome deluxe vacations. That is awesome. But you need to go grab this app. Couple bucks. It's way less than your dues this month. So grab it over at virtualmickey.com. Don't forget, Magical Mouse Radio plays great Walt Disney World in-park audio music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there at magicalmouseradio.com. Give me a follow on Twitter. I'm at Walt Disney World. I'm filling up your feed with great probably pictures of food and rides and more desserts and food and fast passes and everything, magic bands, who knows. So check it out. I'm at BRGuestMike on Twitter, also on Instagram at BRGuestMike. And drop by the Facebook page, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast, and get in on the conversation over on the forums at BRGuestPodcast.com/forums. So we're going to get out of here and let's get on with your midweek. Thank you again for dropping by and joining us for another One Commute Question Show. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.